front of you are the four parshios of Ari Miklat. The Torah has presented the notion of Ari Miklat. Ari Miklat is four different places. And whenever that happens, of course, immediately we have to ask ourselves, why? Why the necessity for the kfelus of all these parshios? Two of them are major, two of them I'll call them minor, simply in terms of the kamus of psukim that are associated with them. In the upper right hand corner, the Parsha Mishpatim, the Torah very briefly introduces us to the concept of Ari Miklat. Makei ish vameis mot yumas. And then the Torah tells us, Vasher lo tzada vo elokim in of yodo. Vesamti l'chol makom asher yonu shama. Here, the Torah has presented to us several very significant aspects of the Ari Miklat, even though in a very pithy, very short, concise kind of form. First, the Torah says, Vasher lo tzada. And one has to be very cognizant of that language. We know the term tzad, tzeda, in Hilchos Shabbos, of course, is one of the Lama Ses Malachis. So the question is the nature of this particular verb, the Torah uses over here in this context. Of course, what the Torah wants to express to us, as Rashi says immediately, lo orab lo b'lo niskami. The person clearly did it b'shogeg, it was not done through any kind of ma'arav, any kind of ambush, or premeditated kind of intent. And Rashi actually quotes the series of psukim, but I'm not focusing on that. That's really derech agav. But what's of interest is the second part of the pasuk, v'elokim in ol yado, a rather striking theological statement, if you will. And Rashi has a famous Gemara in Makis, but Rashi introduces it in a very beautiful way. Rashi says, Tashiyoma hakadmonim, this is the mashal hakadmoni, mershon yetzei resha. U'mashal hakadmoni hu hatera shehu, mashal hakadosh baruch hu shehu kadmoni shalolam. The Rebbeinu Shalom, who is the kadmoni shalolam, presents us with the mashal hakadmoni. Ve'echam v'tera, what did the Torah say? Mershon yetzei resha. Ve'elokim ino liyado, ba'me hakosu medaber, and Rashi quotes the famous Chazal, the Gemara in Makis. B'shnei b'liyadam, echad harag shogeg, echad harag meizid. One kills b'shogeg, one kills b'meizid, v'lohi eidim. There are no eidim present. So with no eidim present, in terms of the one who killed b'shogeg, the one who killed b'meizid. So Rashi says, zeloi nerag v'zeloi gola. One does not go into Ari Miklat, but doesn't go into golos. The other one cannot be killed, there are no eidim. V'akabochu mizamnum l'punna gechad. So Hashem invites them to the same Malone, Pundak, hotel. Zesh Shahar Gavesid, Yoshi Takasasulam, the one who killed in a premeditated kind of way, sitting under the ladder. Zesh Shahar Shegi, Eile Basulam, he goes on the ladder, he ascends the ladder. B'noikol Zal Zeh. So it comes out that, in effect, the one who killed B'mezid is being killed by the one who killed B'shogeg. And now the Eidim Eidim Alav, B'mizchayim Mosel, the Golos, Nimsa Zesh Shahar B'shogeg, the Golos, Zesh Shahar B'mezid Nerak. Very beautiful, striking Rashi, what Rashi calls Mashal Kadmeinis. Here the Torah presents the theological piece, which I'll discuss a bit later, hopefully. And then, interesting how the Torah describes the Ir Miklat. V'samti l'cha moko mashayonu shama. Very striking language. Doesn't use the language of Miklat. Simply says, V'samti l'cha moko mashayonu shama. Rashi comments miyad, af b'amidbar shayonu shama. V'eze makum kolto. Machin Levia. We'll see, of course, we know the Ari Miklat were included among the cities that were occupied by the Levim. But here the Torah presents the idea of Ir Miklat in a very short, pithy way. We really, the Torah has captured most of the major dinim of Ari Miklat. Vasher lo tzada, someone who did it b'shogeg. Number two, there's apparently a theological element here that I'll discuss. And the fact that the Torah has presented already in the Midbar, the Machin Leviyah, the Makom, Ashiyanu Shama. That's the first time we have presentation of the Pasha of Ari Miklat. The second time, of course, is in this week's Pasha, and here it's more Barichos, and let's just examine it. I underline more or less some of the elements that I wanted to headline or outline. Here the Torah says, in the beginning of the presentation, it's the second item that's found in Perek Lamed Hei. In the right-hand slide, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemo Dabel Bnei Yisrael V'matzu Aleihem Ki Atem Ovim Misayadi In Aretz HaKanaan V'Yikrisem Lachem Arim. That language also needs attention, but I'm not going to focus on it right now. V'Yikrisem Now notice the reason why I underlined that, which I did, because language of the Torah is very precise and the terminology is very significant. So right away the Torah introduces it, Ore Nikla Tiyen Alachem. And it mentions the Noshamar Rotzeach Makeh Nebesh Bishgoga, which is the classic, someone who kills Bishogeg. Again, V'hoyu Lachem, Yapalatian Kona, Ha'arim L'miklot Migoel, V'lo Yamusa Rotzeach Adam V'lothei Ha'idol HaMishpat. This is of course the halachic, very significant halachic statement. Who determines whether the action of the Rotzeach was Bishogeg or not? Of course, Bezdin has to determine. The Eidah determines what exactly the nature of the event was. And then the Torah speaks about six Ariklot Tiyen Olochem, and it positions them where they are, three Me'er Yarden, three Be'er Kenan, Ore Niklot Tiyena. Notice that the language is repeated. We saw it earlier, a few moments before. Continuing, Livnei Yisrael Agir V'la Toshe B'Sochem Tiyena Sheish Harem Ha'ilet. Agir Toshe was also involved, the Gemara Makis. L'miklot, L'nushama Kamanei G'nefesh B'Shkodom. And then the next series of Sukkim, the Torah describes the weapon that is used, and of course the Gemara says it has to be a weapon that has kidei lahamis, the ability to kill. Kli barzel, evin yad, kli eitz. So then we have in the middle, goel adam yomis zorotzeach, b'figo bohu yimisenu. However, if all this was not bishgoga, but in b'sino yedefenu, in pasuk chaf aleph, the end of b'chaf rather, chaf and chaf aleph, oh ishlich ala b'tzdiya vayomos, similar to the language we saw in Mishpatim, Hashem Lo Tzada, here it is Bitzdiya. O Be'eva, he called B'yado, then of course he's a Rotzeach. Goel Adam Yomis Rotzeach B'tigo Bo. And then in Chabbez, in the festival of Eva Adofo, there's no anger, there's no undercurrent of hostility. O Hishlich Alav Kokli B'lo Tzdiya. O B'chalev Hashem Yomis B'lo Ra'os V'yapel Lo V'yomis Hu Lo Oyev Lo V'lo V'akeshu Aso. So the Torah again tells us who determines Chaptalit v'shoftu ha'eda. Bezdin has to determine what exactly has happened, and the pasuk chafei, this one that I'll say in the sukkim in the Torah, v'itzilu ha'eda sarotzeach miyad goel adam. This pasuk is used by Rishonim in Masechta Sanhedrin. Kimat the entire Masechta is really replete with this pasuk. How we try our best, our darndest, that someone should not be killed, the value of human life, and we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. The value of human life is sacrosanct, something that cannot, Rahman Litzvan, under those circumstances, we're so careful with human life, v'yitzilu ha'edah sarotzeach miyad goel adam, v'yishivu also ha'edah aliyah miklata asher nashama, because even though it would seem that perhaps here there's a basis for the individual, the goel adam that is avenging that which happened to his korah, the Torah says no, they determined the bezdin that it was not done in a premeditated kind of way, and therefore, once again, that's a very significant component of Pasha's Masa, of this week's Pasha. And then it also tells us if the Rotzeach leaves the Gvul Ir Miklat Hashiyana Shama, Umatza Sadur Adam Mechutz the Gvul Ir Iklato, Rotzeach Gvul Adam Sarotzeach Ein Lo Dam. A very striking expression. The Torah is telling us very clearly, even though he killed B'Shogeg, he still called the Rotzeach, and the Torah used the language of Ein Lo Dam. That language of Ein Lo Dam we're familiar with in a number of other different contexts. Ein Lo Dam, for example, the context of someone in the Gemara says, someone kills a treif for his potter, because the Gemara says, Gabba Kiva Kota. He killed someone, essentially, Shein Lo Dam, or the Pasha Bob Materis. That's really what you see at the Sugim Sanhedrin as well, or Mishnah, and Sugim Mishpatim, Ein Lo Dam. So the fact that the Torah used this expression, that apparently he's not considered to be in violation, namely the Goel Adam, who went and avenged the death of his korov, because the fellow left the Ir Miklat, that was his sanctuary, and he left that area. Ein Lo Dam, he's not to be in any way, he's not culpable, the Goel Adam, for killing the Rotzeach. Ki b'Ir Miklato yeshev amos ha'kohen ha'gadol, yachrim mos ha'kohen ha'gadol, yoshev ha'rotzeach l'eretzach uzasom. And then the Torah tells us a few more psukim, I didn't underline them in the Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, the conclusion is also very striking. Someone who may have killed the Nezik will like to, of course, be scot-free, and so say, I'll pay a ransom, no problem. Hakesef, the pasuk says, Yane Sakol. Perhaps it could be read, Yane Sakol. Kesef is able to distort everything as well. That's not what it says. Lanus Elir Miklato. So Kovu should not be taken. Lashuv Hashem Vat Amay Sakoyin. Here is a famous comment on the Isra of Chanufa that the Gemara in Saita and the Rishonim talk a lot about, and the Balei Musa speak about it, namely engaging in any kind of sycophantic behavior. When one essentially tries to flatter someone else, and the Rishonim and the Balei Musa, one of the favorite topics. But here the Torah says, if we go ahead and Rahman al-Litzlan distort judgment, that's considered to be Rahman al-Litzlan, we're engaged in Chanufa in Eretz Yisrael. Ki Adam u'yachad yivasaretz, ro'aretz lo yichupar, la'adam asher shupach bo ki midam shoykhoi. So here we have a very much a focus on Eretz Yisrael in the Pasha of Maaseh. Okay, I'm going to, in a few moments, delineate what I believe are the main qualities here that I found in Maaseh. I just want you to, you're all familiar with it. I'm not telling you any chidushim, but just by way of reviewing it, there's value. In West Hanan, again, we have a brief perspective. Of course, Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Orim Be'eva Yard, Yimitzchah Shomesh, Lo Neshomer Roteach, Asher Yitzchah Hatzoeir, Bivlidas. Again, Chazal have many drushes on this. One could, and there are again some new elements here that are found in the Vashan as well that are not found prior to that. And finally, in the Sheikhtim, we have again another major presentation of this Pasha. But here, there are other elements that are very unique. And you see very clearly the elements that are found first in Pasuk Bey, Shalosharim Tabdilach, Mesoch Arzacha, Tochim Lecha Aderach, Mishilashtras Bul Arzacha. This is well known. The Gemara Makkot describes how there was shilut. Shilut means that they had to go ahead and put all types of signs in order to ease the way for the rotzeach who killed b'shogeg to find his way to the Eir Mikvah before the Gadol Adam would get him. And there are many halachas derived from the Bahoya. Lo nushama kol rotzeach v'zeh dvar ha-rotzeach asher yo nushama v'chayvi. Torah wants to save the rotzeach. He killed b'shogeg. He didn't kill the mezin. So therefore, he has to openly acknowledge the fact zeh dvar ha-rotzeach. The Gemara indicates that. He has to articulate the fact that I am a rotzeach, and then it goes on again briefly to describe the shogeg, but here it's described in different terms in Pasuk Kei and Dalad Nehei. Ashiyakas ve'er bivlidat, there's no prior enmity. Vashiyabas ve'er bayah lachta beitzim. The Gemara's whole discussion on this Pasuk. In this chayyada bagaz v'lichwa sa'id, v'nashar abazim v'na'id. Rashi on the spot. What exactly happened? I'm not getting into the details now of shogeg, that's a separate discussion. So it says, Hu yonos ha'rachat sa'ar me'el v'choy. And here the Torah reveals to us the fact that there's a natural kind of response on the part of any more? I don't remember. Yeah. The natural response on the part of the Gadol Adam is to avenge the death of his korov. And then the Torah ends this pasha in the lower left hand corner. And then at the end, the last three psukim, where someone has a hatred, that's obviously a case of mezid, and he thinks he's going to escape to Eir Mikvah, So my interest is not so much discussing Mishpatim v'Eretz Chanan, because those are brief presentations, but I like to contrast Maaseh and Sheftim. And here I think you have a clear dialectic, a clear dichotomy that I'm going to show you in a moment between the presentation in Maaseh and then Sheftim. Again, the idea is that one has to examine the Psukim very, very carefully. And in general, when the Torah repeats something, I'll just give you one simple example. My father, Hashem, was very troubled by this Pasuk. It's for the last 55 years in my head, this Pasuk. Found twice in Chumash. Why? That's one of the psukim found twice in Chumash. This kasha I've asked about 25 Gedolei Yisrael, I'm not exaggerating, the last 50 years, and different approaches to b'miyashev. It's not so simple. The context also has to be examined of these two psukim. Two psukim are found not far from each other, the exact same pasuk. There's another pasuk that's also repeated in Chumash, but there's one letter that differs between the first citation and the second citation. Pasuk says, "Ki am kadosh atol Hashem alokecha, v'chol bacha Hashem liyosvo liyam segula, v'kol am nashop ni adoma." And then Re'eh, then was Chanan. And then Re'eh, the Torah says, "Ki am kadosh atol Hashem alokecha, u'v'chol bacha Hashem liyosvo liyam segula, v'kol am nashop ni adoma." Rashi on the spot, comments that I heard from my Rebbe Rassel Ovechik, he said a whole shir on this. Vav, Rashi has the following comment. Ki am kadosh atah, says Rashi, kedusha ha'afrucha mi'avosecha. Ve'ei, uvecha b'cha Hashem. What does Rashi want? So, obviously, any brisket worth the salt. When we have already trade dinim, that's how Asal basically saw here trade dinim in the pasuk. There are two segments in the pasuk, namely a person has an inherent kedusha that every Jew is equal. That's what Korach did not grasp. Korach, we took the beginning of Korach, that's not my mandate for tonight, but anyway, Korach failed to grasp that point. He didn't see that distinction between the fact that every Jew is inherently Kadosh, but on the other hand, there's also an element of Bechira. Hashem has, in effect, conferred upon every Jew a different mandate. Every Jew has their own kishronos, their own talents, their own character traits, and therefore they have to carry out their particular mission, their particular mandate. And that's exactly what the pasuk is saying. Ki am kodeshat al Hashem elokecha mitzad dikdusha tatzchom yavosecha. We're all equal. But mitzad da'ed u'mechad b'achar Hashem liyesa l'am segul v'kol am ashrap ne'adama. There, each one is different. If you look carefully in Pesukim, the beginning of Korach, you see that's exactly what his error was. Namely, that Korach did not see that distinctive element. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically, he argued, and Moshe Rabbeinu responded, "Boker, v'yoda Hashem et Hashalov, v'yat HaKadosh v'kuvilov, v'yat HaShiyiv Chaboy HaKuvilov." Tzvei dinim. There's a din that's founded on Kedusha, and there's a din that's founded on Bechira. And this Rafalvechik drew many napkaminas, la halacha, between these two. I'll just give you one example. The Poskim discussed the issue of Mumma Shekidesh, a Mumma who's the Kaddish. Is the Kedushin Chal or not? So what does Kedusha depend on? Does Kedusha depend on that element of Bechira, or does it depend on the inherent Kedusha? A mover clearly is someone who's an apostate, someone who clearly has deviated, has left the camp in many respects. But we're talking about Allah and Mumashi Kiddush, Kedusha, Kedusha. That's what we should say, Torah, Allah and Shechon Ach. And so let you tell the reason for that is because Mitzad, the Kedusha, he still has the Kedusha. Yourself, Yishechata, yourself. Okay, this needs examination. I have a whole list of Nafkaminas that doesn't interest me right now, but I'm just pointing out we have two psukim that are cannot identical with the exception of one additional letter. We have to try to figure out why the Torah repeated the pasuk twice. Those are two psukim that are the most blatant, then there are some others that need also attention that are similar. Okay, that's not my issue. So now here we have two parshas that clearly are different one from the other in terms of the stress of the Torah, in terms of the language that the Torah uses, in terms of the particular halachas that I mentioned. So now I just want to go through a little bit and show you exactly what I'm referring to when I want to distinguish between the two. Let's start with the Pasha of Matzeh, because that's this week's Pasha. I think you'll have certainly a greater appreciation of it. In Matzeh, we have, firstly, as I mentioned a moment ago, and this you'll see, that Mishenin really, I'm not telling you any chidushim whatsoever, if you have any zaiti, I don't think there's even one chiddush over here, what I'm about to say. Element number one is that I mentioned that the person who killed B'Shogeg, accidental death, is a misnomer. He's a rotzeach. The person who killed B'Shogeg requires unquestionably kapara. And we'll see the whole Pasha of Matzeh is devoted to this idea of kapara, unquestionably. And I'll show you in a moment how that is clearly to be seen. The Torah firstly mentions that the word in Matzeh, as I said, the term miklot is used many times. It's kamad a term that's not used anywhere else in the other parshas, not in Mishpatim, nor is it found in Vaischanan, nor, as I said, in Pasha Shekin. That's not at all the language that the Torah employs over there, but here in Matzeh it's repeated numerous times. And the Torah apparently wants to stress the element of kapara that exists in the Ir Miklot. Namely, that all the pratim, of course, I'm not mentioning the pratim relating to what ha'atzalos ha'atzeach. Where does that element come to the fore? In the Pasha Shekin. In Sefer Dvarim, the element of ha'atzalos ha'atzeach, the Torah focuses on the personality of the rotzach. Vinot, elachas, ta'er, ma'ilat. You have it here as well, but that's not the primary thrust of the psukim. The primary thrust of the psukim, I mentioned the idea, first of all, that's the ikar kapara of the rotzach. As Rashi comments, the Gemara Makas comments, you have to wait till the death of the Kohen Gadol. And only in our pasha does the Torah say towards the end, v'loistichu kefer lanusa liyud miklotom. Loshuv loshevet barat admei takoyim. There's an Isa to take kofar from the Heirig Mishgoga in order to pat him from Golos. That's what Rashi points out. And the Rambam says, Amitzis writes this, the Reis Tzadik Vav, very clearly. That's Nogea to the Tzad HaKaporosh of the Golos. And that's mentioned only over here in the Pasha of Masei. Now the Torah, in effect, is telling you that you can't be Mechaper. The Rotzea cannot achieve Kapara, cannot achieve any kind of expiation. Ayyidei Nesina Tzedra Mama. By somehow thinking he's going to go ahead and pay money, as many people think, only as they go. But again, that seems to be the focus here of this particular, and as I said, this Pasha in Masseh, the Ika Kapara comes in Nisa Sakai and Godo, that's the Mechapeh for the Rotzeach, a full Kapara. Of course, essentially, Golos only comes to protect the Rotzeach from the Yisurin in a, shall we say, temporary kind of way until the Kohen Gadol dies. But in effect, the key Kapara clearly lies in the language of the fact that the Torah uses a number of different Lashonos that relate to Kapara. Rashi comments over here, if you have Rashi in front of you and you have the Chumash, you can see it actually where the language is in Perek Lamed Hei. Ein lo dam, says Rashi. Harehu ke'ereg esames. Shein lo dam, what I mentioned earlier. This is in the context of the Rotzeach leaves the Ir Miklad, and the Goel Adam finds him. Verotzeach Goel Adam is a Rotzeach, the Torah says, Ein lo dam. Pilei ploy. Similar to the case I gave you earlier. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Harehu is a Tzeva Potter, because Gabriel Tzeva Kotal, he also. Ein lo dam, ke'ereg esames. So if you kill the dead person, the whole notion that the Torah, and I'll just again read also to show you in the Lashon of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch here is marvelous. He does not need my Haskama, but he's absolutely marvelous beyond belief. The Sefer HaChinuch here comments in the Tuf Yud, in Mitzvah Tuf Yud, he's talking about the fact that Bezna has an obligation. He quotes from Sukkim that Hatam here at the end of Bamidbar, and he mentions Kibir Mikloto Yeshev till the death of the Kohen Gadol, and then he writes the following: Mishorashi Amitzvah, the Bisha Abon Haritzicha Chamur Ad Meid. We'll see that the Rambam writes it's the most chamur of all averus. Sheva Hashchas Asayilam, Asheram Chazal Shehorig Nevesh Meizid. A person, God forbid, who kills the Mezid, even if he's someone who's the Kai Mitzvahs entirely, will not be saved from punishment. Since a takol occurred through his hand, the Golos, which the Gemara says in Makas Nabez of the days, Golos Mechateres. So the Chinuch writes that let him have tsar, let him wallow in tsar, and that is tantamount to death. Shenifrad ha'adam me'oyavo b'eretz me'ladatoy. He explains the person is in isolation, person is incarcerated, the person is literally quarantined from the world, socially isolated. B'shechin kol yom avim zorin. Who is he with? Other asirin, if you will. And he goes further and indicates the Eigesh Tikkun Ha'ilam B'mitzvah K'moshe B'akosov Shei Nosolam Zem Yad Goel Adam V'vay Yagenu Alok Chomas B'kapov Shei Shei Doyo. So he writes of the two different Tu'aliyos, but he says very clearly this idea without using the language of Chazal Golos B'chateres, but there's no question that's what he has in mind. And part of the Kapara, says the Chinuch in a psychological explanation which he's very well known for, is this idea, the notion that a person who is isolated from society, becomes a kind of misanthrope, someone who's totally divorced from any kind of socialization, he's not able to socialize with others around him, which of course is essentially what human beings are all about. We're social animals, we're social creatures, we're gregarious. That's our very nature. And now that is being taken away from him, and that's what the Chinuch writes, and that's part of the Kapara for Rotzeach. So I'm saying that here, the focus, the main word that seems to be the key, the epicenter, which has legal significance, namely, is the term miklat, which is used here again and again by the Torah, and Dafkin Pasha Maseh, not found in Mishpatim, not found in Vaschanan, and in the Pasha Shavuot, you can see that's also clearly not the language that the Torah employs in the context of describing the Ir Miklat. Dafkin Pasha Maseh, you see this element. Not only that, I'm mapping my main raya is not from any of this. My main raya is from the Targum. Targum Unkelus. Unkelus translates, his translation, Shechtim, is in more kind of distinction than translation in Masseh. In Shechtim, he constantly speaks about Shei Zavusa. That's a lotion that he uses again and again. When he speaks about Miklot, Shei Zavusa. Mashen Ken here in the Pasha of Shekhtin, he speaks about Orak. Orak is Lashon Bricha. Lashon Bricha means the person running away. It means the focus in Shekhtin is on the Rotzeach himself. On the Gavra HaRotzeach who killed B'Shegeg, that's the focus that he has to go ahead and escape to the... He has to go to the Ir Miklat. Mashen Ken over here, Shei Zavusa, we're somehow trying to focus on, shall we say, not the Rotzeach in terms of Hatzolat HaRotzeach Me'an Yitzach. That's the focus in the Pasha of Shertin, but here the focus in Matzeh is essentially the Din Kapora, Shei Zavusa. The idea is to save him and save him by his having to go through the entire process, which is a very torturous and wrenching one. That's what the Chinuch is describing. That wrenching process, that's Midin Kapora. That's what essentially Kapora is all about. That's why I understand the term Miklat, even though it needs further examination. But I'll just give you another few other examples of what I'm referring to, which I think also is, again, primarily based on the terminology. First of all, the Pasha Masei speaks of the Ara Miklat as having legal kind of significance. On the one hand, it says, V'hayu lachem ha'ara l'miklat migoyel, this element that it's a kind of holding, if you will, holding pen for the Rotzeach till he stands in judgment, till Bezin decides, and that's exactly the focus of Matzei, till the Koveah, the Eidos Koveah, what his status is. Secondly, even after the Mishpat, so then of course that he has to then, once his case has been adjudicated in court, once his case has been concretized and decided upon, then of course he's now sentenced to stay in the Ohr Miklat till the death of the Kohen Gadol. And again, as I said, the focus here, I think, is more in terms of the issue of Kapara as opposed to anything else, because really the element of Kapara is only found over here. It's interesting that the language also, I want to compare, I don't know if you agree with me, here the Torah says in the Pasha of Masei, if the girl Adam kills the Rotzeach, ain't lo dam. What does it say in the Pasha of Shekhtin? It says there a different language. Ein boi mishpat moves. A different language entirely. Ein bo dam is Rashi comments I mentioned a moment ago. That's Lashon of ein lo dam. The Pasha of Shekhtin says, ein lo mishpat moves. You know, that's why in our Pasha Dafka, as I said, seems to be more the focus on the element of kapara, that the, or the process, or the entire wrenching experience that's been undergone by the Rotzeach B'Shogeg. Beyond that, as I mentioned before, in Shekhtim, the Torah tells us, talking with HaAderech, that you have to go ahead and prepare the Shevet, prepare Miklat, correct? To be Mechavim the Rotzkim to the right place. The Gemara says, Miklat, Miklat, and Akosim, Apashas, Rochim. Rashi actually calls it, Vishilashas, Gulatzicha. You have to position the Ari Miklat equidistant one from the other to the extent that a person will be able to find his way to the nearest Ir Miklat, if you will, without difficulty. But even beyond that, if you look in the Pasha Masei, the Torah describes here scenarios where the Rotzeach is Chayim Misa. And in the Shekhtim, you don't really have all the minutia, all the detail that's found out in Pasha Masei is not found in Pasha Shekhtim. In Pasha Masei, since the Ir Miklat is both a legal, has a legal kind of status, and as I said, it serves both as a holding pen and also as ultimately a miklat for the Rotzeach, from the Goyal Adam to Lamishpat, that's why we have to know under what circumstances is he going to be able to derive benefit from this miklat. What is called, what is determined by Halacha to be a Rotzeach B'Shogeg, the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, and that's what the Bezna has to determine, V'Shoftu Ha'Eda, Be'el HaMakeh, Ovin Goyal Adam, Lamishpatim Ha'Eda. Not only that, but in the Pasha Masei, where you have also Ippi's Rotzeach killed B'Shogeg, V'Shivu Ha'Eda, Ir Miklato. While in Shekhtim, it's more the element of the miklat as serving as a, as I said, the Rotzeach has to himself run. Who yonu salachat or me'ele? The focus seems to be on Rotzeach, as opposed to means hatzalat Rotzeach, if you will, migoel hadav. Mimisha Rotzeach, the someone who wants to kill him. Again, the Pasha of Masei mentions clearly on Moisa Kohen HaGodol, the element of kapara. And that seems to be the focus of Masei. That's not at all the focus of the Pasha Shertim. In Matthew mentioned earlier, Velosichu Kaifa Nebesh Rotzeach Asher Rosh Alamos Kimos Yumas Velosichu Kaifa Lanus Eliyim Niklato. So I'm saying there are two different elements L'chura L'chia Nidus Daiti that are to be found over here. One is the element of the Kapara, which is the focus I think of Pasha Masei. That's the centerpiece, the epicenter, the Tzad HaKapara Sheish Be'ir HaMiklot Mashen King in the Pasha Shekhtim. That is a totally different perspective, and even the end, the summation, is also somewhat different. Here the Torah says, "V'la'aretz lo yichupar, b'dam sheshuba b'alki and b'dam shoychei." Torah speaks about the kapara of Eretz Yisrael, that unless we go ahead and carry out the entire procedure, so the Eretz Yisrael becomes tamei because of the shvichat adam of the nirzach. And how can one be mechaper in this tumah? Only through the means of the dam of the rotzeach b'mezid, or the golus of the rotzeach b'shgoga, and the tear of the kapara through the death of the kohen gadol. That's what the Torah stresses here. Pasha Shreitim also speaks of that, but the perspective is different. By the way, whose dam is that referring to? Very unclear. V'lo yishavek dam noki in Shreitim. You know, if you have to take a look at Sukkim there, a lower left hand corner. V'lo yishavek dam noki b'kerev atzach asher Hashem elokecha neitzir v'chonachalo v'yolach adami. Are we talking about the dam anirtach? Or perhaps we're talking about the dam of the rotzeach b'shgoga. The Pashas are talking about the dam of the rotzeach b'shgoga. So again, the focus of these two parshas seem to be primarily different. Basically, when I said the dichotomy, what I meant is that here you have, in effect, two totally different perspectives, what the function of the Ari Miklat are. Is their primary function that of Kapara? That seems to be the Pasha and Masay. Or is the primary function, if you will, a kind of Hagonah for the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, that he should not be in any way harmed by the Gol Adam, by the would-be Gol Adam. I want to go even further. Even the examples that are given of Shogeg are very fascinating. In the Pasha of Masay, the Torah speaks of the Intesta below Eva Hadopo, O Hishlech Alav Kokli below Tzviya, O Bechalem and Hashiyamos below Yoris, Vayap Alav Vayamos. So basically what happens in all these cases? The person did something which could potentially kill. Of course, I didn't have premeditated intent. That's what the Torah stresses. The fesa below eva hadofo, or ishakal of kli below tzviya, or b'chaleven below raos, v'ula oyev lo, v'blakish raso. Essentially, it was an act which was really, in many respects, irresponsible. To go and, I'll discuss this a little bit later, to go and throw a stone, or to go and, shall we say, utilize all these other implements that have the potential capacity to harm, to maim, to kill, and therefore you have to go into Golos. Mashiach, the Pasha Shekhtim, there the example that's given is the example of the handle, the bazel attached to the eighth, and the Noshal HaBazel in the eighth. Rashi brings the Nachlokes V'Chazal, what the Pshad is, or the Nishman HaBazel Mikato, or Rashi quotes, She'ishal HaBazel Chaticha Min HaEitz HaMizbakeh V'Hinitza V'Harga. This seems to be much more in the realm of Grama, this particular example. And now, again, if you look in the Rambam, I'm not here to examine the Rambam tonight, but the Rambam has in Rotzeach Shmiras Nefesh in Perek Vav, Halachas Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet and Hey, he has three different types of Hariga Shalom Kavana. One the Rambam calls Hashem Al Tzada, total Shogeg. Then he has Shogeg HaKor Vomes. And then he has a third case, Shogeg Karov Lemezin. And that's what it sounds like. These two Pashas reveal the Pasha of Masay seems to be the third category that the Rambam speaks of, namely the category of Shogeg HaKor Vomezid. Mashenk and Pasha Shertim seems to be the second category of Shogeg HaKor Vomezid. So I'm just trying to show you, if you had used Daiti, that I believe when one examines the two Pashas, so Lichora, the sense that I have is that they are totally different Pashas in the following sense. That they are addressing, in effect, two different aspects of Iyam Miklat. One talks about the Iyam Miklat, as I said, in terms of Kapara, and the other speaks about the Iyam Miklat primarily as a Hatzalah from the Gol Adam, that the Rotzeach B'Shogeg should not in any way be harmed. That is only by this. That's right. Correct. The Lashon of the examples that are given. The examples that are given, and that's what I want to discuss now, and this is the thrust of really what all this is by an introduction to my main area of discussion. The idea of kapara, by the way, is found many times. It's in Rambam all over the place. The Rambam, if you take a look at the Rambam in Perek Vav, Halacha Dalet, over here in Rotzeach, Shmiras Nefesh, Shem Zirak said, the Rambam in Perek Zayin, Lachid Yigimel, the Chinuch in Tof Yud, Rashi and Makis Beis on the Beis, there's a Rashi and Ksubas on the Zayin on the Beis. It's all over. You see many Rishonim who speak about this element of Kapara, and it's very critical. But there's no question that seems to be the focus of the, as I said, of this particular parsha. However, what I really want to discuss is the following, and you take a look here, and this is thought I heard from a number of times on Hagoyin Rav Levitzel Shlita. I went for about 8 years to his shmuzin, one night a week. The shmuz was essentially a half hour, 10:30 to 11, but then from 11 to 12:30, 1 o'clock, I decided, since I have one of the Goli Ador in front of me, to go and l'shageat ha'sechel shalom. And that's what I did for approximately 8 years, and then I continued on the telephone, through other means, etc. There's an inyan to stalk a Goli Yisrael, if one can, and I felt it was my opportunity, so why should I, Rachman Lutzlan, not utilize the opportunity? But he saw that he actually, a number of times, said over, in the context of the Ir Miklat, I wanted to share with you, which I think is very, very significant. And he began by asking a Pashut Kasha, which I think all of us should ask ourselves, what would be the din? Let's use the example that the Pasuk says over here, namely in Shoftim. And here I'm taking an axe to chop wood. And what happened? V'nashu abazim v'nayitz, which could obviously happen. U'matzes v'eir v'meis. U'matzes v'machogis tanoim. What does it mean? The gazin itself, somehow, the metal piece, somehow flew out of its yadit and killed the nirtzach. Or it means that the chaticha min ha'eitz, ha'mit bagea, that a piece of wood somehow went flying and unfortunately, my market davzayin, and did its job on the nirtzach. So what's the din? Who yonos? The pasuk says, "Rachas harim eilu v'choy." So he asked, "What would be the din in Hilchos Shabbos? A person, let's say, is chopping wood, and the bazel or chatichas ha'etz flew from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim. Will the person be chayav kapara chatas for that action?" The pashtus, I would say, of course not, because on Shabbos only a shegeg is chayav chatas. The Gemara says in Shabbos very clearly what's called a shegeg. There are two types of shegeg: shegegas melacha, shegegas Shabbos. Either person did not know that today was Shabbos, so he didn't know this melacha was also on Shabbos. If that's the case, this is not a shegeg. This is what's classically called nisasek. Without getting into the machlokes of the Kireg and others, a person had no intention whatsoever to do the melacha v'itzah. That was not my intention. On the other hand, what does the Torah say regarding Ritzicha? Here the pasuk says, Yechayv Golos. Even though you had no intention whatsoever to be boger in any human being or any animal, whatever the particular subject happened to be, I'll give you another example. A person wants to throw a chevetz on Shabbos from one place to another, and there's a subject where the malacha is going to take place. Namely, the chevetz, let's say, will hit an apple on a tree. The Gemara has a similar kind of discussion, the Gemara in Kladobel. But it's going to hit an apple, and then the apple will fall off the tree. That's a malacha of kaitse, where you detach something that's mechubel kaka. My intention was not to, shall we say, down the apple. My intention was simply to throw the chevetz. But I know it's possible by throwing the chevetz, the apple may fall off the tree, may become detached from the tree. Am I allowed to go ahead and throw an apple on Shabbos? I'm now allowed to throw a chevetz, rather. Whatever the chevetz may be. The Gemara says, in Shabbos, Moran Tagoda speaks about high man, a person who goes ahead and takes a clod of earth and throws it, and as a result, you detach something. Machlokes Tanoim over there in the Gemara, big machlokes of Rishonim as well. What's the din? Am I allowed to do so? So the halacha is, we pass the Dabashim Eskabi as Mutah. That's what the Rabbin passes, the Shulchan Aruch passes. I had no kavana. That was not my intention to detach an apple from the tree. What will be the din in the realm of Ritzicha? Namely, is it possible just to throw a chevetz, mimokum lamokum, where there's a potential possibility that this chevetz might, God forbid, harm someone, and even chas v'shalom, a person might die as a result of that? Would that be permissible? Would that be allowed? Chas v'shalom? That's korov, I would say, to be rotzech v'mezid. I'm not saying you're rotzech v'mezid, chas v'shalom. You're not rotzech v'mezid. But it's korov. And it might be that maybe Ir Miklat would not even protect you in that situation. What's the reason? Why is it when it comes to Ritzicha, the Torah imposed an unbelievable achrayis that a person should be so careful regarding Ritzicha? Rav Eben Bechai quotes in this this parsha, he quotes the Rambam, that the Rambam writes that murder, I mentioned it's from the Chinuch, but the Lashon Rav Eben Bechai also saw that he quotes that murder is considered to be the most heinous of crimes. The Rambam says, and there's no crime that's comparable to murder, right? So why the distinction between this and Hilchos Shabbos? So Rav Eben Saul, I asked him this question, I was very bothered by this. I really hakem hachanik on this issue. And he told me the following chiluk, which I think is la mito shel Torah, unquestionably. Namely, when it comes to Melacha of Shabbos, what is the interest of Hashem Yisbarach? The interest of Hashem Yisbarach is not, shall we say, whether the apple will be detached from the tree or won't be detached from the tree. Hashem is only interested that it should not be done through a Jew. It means if the tapuach, if the apple will be detached on the part of a goy would do this detaching, or let's say even on the part of a Jew where he did it through Edom Eskavin, he did it through Misafek, where you're not going to ascribe the action that was done to the Jew, so then Hashem doesn't care, you don't need a kapara for that. However, when it comes to Mitzicha, that's not the case. Hashem Yisbarach is not only interested in the Maiseh, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the Maiseh has to be a Maiseh Melachos Machshavos. The Gemara in Beitza, Melachos Machshavos is also Torah. Now, Melachos Machshavos is not also. The Maiseh is that which is the focus of our attention. The Tzitzah we're not so interested in. Mashen Kim comes to Mitzicha. There, that's not the case. Hashem cares even about the Tzitzah, because the Nefesh of every Jew is covered to Hashem Yisbarach. Hashem does not want a Jew to die, whether it's through the hands of a Jew and the hands of a guy, or even through some other hands. Let's say, God forbid, the halacha is, if a Jew is drowning, you have to save him. Even though there's no ma'aseh mitzicha. A Jew is drowning, so he has to save him. So, misafek in misgavin and mutar on Shabbos. It's not considered to be melachos machshavos in the Torah asked. However, when it comes to mitzicha, there, there's no basis for heter whatsoever. One has to be incredibly zoya. Not only when it comes to Ritzicha, but even one could extend this clearly to Niske Mammon as well. And a person, let's say, goes ahead and uses a, as we just mentioned, a garza, and he uses an axe. And the bazel or a chatzicha min ha'etz, depending on the two pshatim and Rashi, flies up and is mazik Mammon chavero. What's the din? We're going to say he's patur, he did misasek. Just like we would say Melachos Shabbos, he's not chayiv, so here also he wouldn't be chayiv as well. Of course not, no question. Chayiv hamazik, the shalom is on ezek. There's no question the mazik is chayiv to pay. Why is that so? Because here also, just like the nefesh of every Jew is chavir to the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, mamon shel Yisrael chavir to the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the patur misasek has no relevance. So it means that if a person in effect is in a situation where Mammon Chavero is going to go to Ibud, where God forbid a person's property is about to sustain a terrible loss, not because of you did it. As I said, let's say you're in a position where a river comes and somehow the Gemara says shut up Noah, Gemara Babetzia, where it inundates someone's property, and you're in a position to go ahead and somehow to move things around and to save someone else's money, yemchav yidin, midin hashavas haveda, agimah b'mitzir, agimah daf lamadav. A klal gemara says, quoted by the pasuk of halacha, the Torah does not want that the money of a Jew should go to Ibud. If I can prevent it, I'm mechuyav to do so. Again, I'm not discussing now where there is sakana involved and things of that sort. That's a different story. But the fact of the matter is that all this, again, and the reason why I say all this is because this yisod, I heard from Rav Sol Shlita a number of times, because here the Torah is talking about Horeg Nefesh Bishkoda. But what about the situation where, in effect, where two people are working on a roof, and this is not, unfortunately, a situation that doesn't occur from time to time. They're working on a roof. Let's say they are either laying bricks or they're removing bricks from the roof and bringing them down to the main floor, and now, in the course of their doing what they're doing, let's say they decide to get into a very joking kind of banter, and they're not careful regarding these avonim that fall from the roof and fall down to the ground, to the street, where passers-by, etc. So, and let's say, God forbid, the Evan that I was handling, or the Evan that someone was handling, fell on the head of someone who's walking on the street, and that person was killed by that Evan that was falling. And the other Evan, let's say, the other person, my partner, also fell, but nothing happened. That Evan didn't harm anyone, didn't have any impact on any individual on the street. So, what would be the din? Pashup shot. Reuben has to go, the first guy has to go to Yimiklah, because unquestionably that he's in a sakana to Pashup, first of the Goel Adam, who might very well want to avenge his Karov who lost his life. And that means that now he can no longer, the way the Chinuch writes, he's isolated completely and totally. Mashenka, the other fellow, he can go ahead and go to bar mitzvahs and simchas and chatanas. He's not affected at all, even though, essentially, what both of them did was exactly the same. There's no distinction between what one did, what the other one did. But, in fact, mitzad ha-emes, that's not correct. Mitzad ha-emes, the second one, is a pasheya, is a rashlon. He's considered to be someone who is guilty, not less than the first guy. Of course, he was Elokim Inna V'Yodai. So it happened that he, through the Hashgacha of Hashem Yisbarach, because the Galgul and Tzchusai de Zakai de Chayvai de Chayv. Kanaveh, he's not a Chayva, he's not a Chayv, and as a result, so he was able to somehow emerge. Mashiach in the first one is considered to be a Bar Chayuva. And basically what we're saying is that, and this applies, and this is one of Rabbi Nevinsol Shlita, one of his favorite topics, and it should be one of our favorite topics as well, namely people who drive. And I came to Eretz Yisrael, one of the things that I find very stressful is driving. Extremely stressful. Because here, kol achad noeg kamo miturafim, kamo shu mituraf. Mind-boggling. People either, they're speeding in such a fashion, everyone tries to get around me, so that's probably a sign of my, I think I told over the story, I did just tell this over, yes. People in my family know it, that when I took the test, the driving test here, I've been driving in Chutz Laaretz for many, many years, for decades. And I took the test here, and I failed. I couldn't for the life of me understand. I took it with three other people who were in the car with me. They all passed, and I failed. And it's true. The Gemara says, "Kol Negayim Madam Braya Mishnah, Chutz Midigi Asmo." So obviously, maybe I'm someone who gave it over, unquestionably. I thought I drove relatively well. And then I try to find out why I failed, and so I had to go ahead and I chaver Rabbi Yaakov Natir Zechatzal Zibracha. So he was friendly with the Sar Tachbura because they run the chevron together. So I asked him, Rabbi Yaakov, could you find out why exactly? Because they wouldn't tell me. The Bochen wouldn't tell me why I failed. So he called the Sar Tachbura. That's really another amazing thing. He was able to get to the Secretary of Transportation of the country, which is, I can't imagine such a simple thing to do, let's say in the United States, called one of the major Sarim. I don't think he'd be able to get him, but he got him in 5 minutes. And he told him, Yaakov Tiv, he says, Tagid l'chvad Arav, Shani Yachzor Elav, Vod Chamesh Takot, Ani Vareh Ata Hesek, I'll examine the matter, I'll find out what happened. So he calls him back 5 minutes later, I'm waiting there, and this is what I heard. Hasibah Shun Nifshal, Biglal Shun Nahag Bezirut, Yoter Midai. He was too careful how he drove. I thought that was a Naira. Discovered that it's a Chisar, and that's just so. So next time he told me, Shewi Kachata Abochan, he told me I should take it in a different place near the yeshiva that I was teaching at. And sure enough, I took it the day I took the bechina. It was pouring cats and dogs. I couldn't see anything. Who steps into the car? Who's the bochein? Echad ha'talmidim shali, one of my students, an Israeli who works for the Misvada Yeshiva Tachbura. And he says to me, Harav, ra'e mashu? I said, Shum davar, ani lo ra'e. Tatchil. He told me to begin to drive. Of course, I passed with flying colors. But anyway, the point is that people who drive kibbutz rafim, they require kaparas slicha. I don't know if Hashem Yisbarach is going to give them kaparas slicha if they drive both in the sukkah. Many, many accidents here, Rahman Lutzlan, and more people killed here through traffic accidents in all the wars since the founding of the State of Israel. And the fact of the matter is that, if we have this Zaiti, I think it's Karav Lemezid, unquestionably. I think there's no question that people who drive in such a fashion, I think that that Ir HaMiklot will not save that person. Yesterday there was a terrible, terrible, terrible accident, a tractor or some sort of a truck that ran three people over, they were killed. Pasha, what they call the Nahav Shadores,
I think that Ir Mikvah only saves the person as a shogi gomer. But saying it's Karod HaMezid, Ir Mikvah does not save him. What's called Karod HaMezid? Lashon HaRamban. I'm going to read Lashon HaRamban. Karod HaMezid, Sheyiyah B'Dabla Kamo Pshia. O Shehoyah Lo Nizroya V'Lo Nizah. B'Dino Sheino Geve. Neshavoy Nechomur. Ein Gos Mechaperas Lo. They know Ir Mikvah Tokos Oto. Doesn't help him. I skip a little bit. Lefikach, Imot Pagol Adam, Lechol Mokom Ha'arogom Potter. Umar Yafez, what should he do? Yeshev, Yishmarat, Pagol Adam. He better go and tie it. He better go into hibernation. Someone who is driving recklessly, he's not called Shogeg. He's called amazing. For sure, there's no din of Ir Mikvah. He will not be saved by the Ir Mikvah. One can go even further, since I already started on this topic. A person who drives in a reckless way, bepashtus, he has a din by this. This country, we have to be very careful about expressing such ideas. As a din reidif, Gemara is very clear what the halacha's reidif is. Of course, the heter to kill a reidif is only b'shas v'difa. It's only while the person is involved in the act of being reidif, not b'shas shein a reidif. But certainly, I'm sorry? Someone who has a chazoka that he drives recklessly, there's no question that he has a din right there. I think they tell a story. I saw it once. And he saw it, Mimamakim, not that Sefer Mimamakim. There's another one where during the Holocaust, there was Adam Godel who was actually in the Holocaust, Rav Oshri, so Rafaim Oshri Zatzal. So he was with which Rav was with him? An Adam Godel. He's also an Adam Godel. Actually, I knew him because he had a yeshiva in the Bronx and a yeshiva in the Lower East Side of New York City, and he was a goyin, and he was a mamash, a veritable goyin. He's a mechaber several svarim called Imamakim. There are many stories about issues that came up in the Shoah. One of the issues I believe he raises is that Germans were constantly searching Jewish areas, and there was once a young baby that began to cry, and there was no way to somehow quiet the baby, to silence the baby. So they were afraid that the Germans would find out that here we have a whole bunch of Jews who are hiding because the baby is crying, and they will reveal their hiding place and they'll all be killed. So they passed the halacha that you can go ahead and put some sort of a pillow on top of the tinok in order to quiet the tinok, and even though there's a sakana that God forbid the child will be nechnak, the child will be God forbid choke, he has a din right there because he's putting the lives of all this entire group at sakana. And so that would be the basis for the heter. And even when the rodev has no intention of being right there, that's very clear. We're talking about a young little baby, has no kavana for a diva whatsoever. And the truth is that this is quoted now, I remember, it's quoted in the Sefer Geha HaRega by Rav Shimon Efrati. That's where I saw it. The Sefer Geha HaRega, he's the father of HaGoyim Rav Yosef Efrati Shlita. So his father went through the Holocaust and has this discussion. And the truth of the matter is, it's also discussed by Moshe Feinstein. So Moshe Feinstein in Ebre Ezer has a tshuva of a similar nature. He talks about a machlokes of Rishonim. Can you kill a cotton haredev shelo b'kavana? Is there a chiyuv to kill him, or do we assume no? You're not even aveira. You don't kill him. That the truth doesn't. He discusses machlokes of Rishonim, and then there's the tshuva, and there's no gear to the same issue. But the fact of the matter is that that this is a very significant, very fundamental yisod that I just wanted to, I felt the need to articulate it with reference to the Ir Mikvah. And I think that really there's a clear distinction between the area of Hilchos Shabbos, as I said, and these areas where the person Niskei Mamon and the like, or anything of a similar nature. You know, there's a famous tshuva of the Radvaz. This is one of the most famous tshuvas of the Radvaz, that the Radvaz was asked that is a person required to give up one of his organs in order to save someone else's life? So let's say the government of Rishonim would say, either I cut off some non-vital organ from your body, or I'll kill another Jew. So the Radbaz says that even though Mikra Adin, that the halacha would not require you to do such a thing, but if you did it, it is roi l'shevach. It would be viewed as an act of chassidus. What you did would be an act of piety. Of course, it's conditional on this amputation of the limb not resulting in, God forbid, an infection or hemorrhaging or who knows what, where a person might die. Means we're not required in general to give up any part of our body, nor to carry any other mitzvah. I saw a psak of Rashomu Zalman Oyerbach Zatzal, but he passed in Malocha. He was asked about a newborn baby that was supposed to undergo a bris milah on the eighth day, but the doctors say if they did a bris milah on the eighth day, that even though it would not pose any life or any danger, but it might disable his legs in some way. It would create some sort of disability, and he would run the risk of limping his entire life. So now the question is, do we do the bris milah? Now, delaying the bris milah by a week or two apparently would have obviated that danger, would have eliminated that danger. So he passed in that there's an obligation of chiyuv to delay the bris milah. Although bris milah is of such significance as Deichah Shabbos, the Gemara says, "Vayam Hashmini Yima Vusar Alosa Afilu B'Shabbos." Nowhere does the Torah say we have to impair any part of the child's body for the sake of having bris milah on the eighth day. We're not required to give up any part of our body even to save a life. So all this I'm saying again, in terms of the issue that we spoke about, let's say comparing Hilchos Shabbos, where Grama is permissible. The Gemara says that Losasu Kamalocha Asiyu Da'asu Grama Shari on Shabbos. That on Shabbos Grama is permissible. What's us is to do a Maisa Malocha on Shabbos, and therefore the issue that's raised by the Paskim Hashmir Shabbos Kilchus talks about the issue of if right now it's 8 o'clock and I want to adjust the setting of a Shabbos clock to have electricity go off at 9 o'clock rather than it should go off at 10 o'clock. Many Paskim permit Grama, the Ramah is Machmir in Hilchos Shabbos regarding these matters, and it says it's Rabbanon, and that's the general practice of Ashkenazim. But again, since the Issa is the Rabbanon, if it be a great Hefzed, that's the Merubah, they will welcome the Hakel as far as this matter. Why? Because the Torah says, Lo Sasakom Malacha. The main issue, as I said earlier, is that I should not do a Maisa Malacha on Shabbos. That's what the Torah asks. So if it takes place in some other manner, some other fashion, then we're not concerned as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned. But when it comes to Rachmana Litzlan murder, when it comes to Niske Mamon, if I cause someone indirectly to die, so the Torah says very clearly, the beginning of Bereshit, it mentions over there that what's the pasuk? Torah says over there in the, I think it's in Perek Tes, the end of the Parshas Noach. Aches dimchem and avshoseichem edrosh miyad kol chay yed vishenu miyad ha'odam miyad ishochiv edrosh es nefesh ha'odam. I mean, there are ways that a person can go ahead and kill someone and not be liable to death at the hands of Bezdin. Let's say a person chas v'sholom poisons someone's food, and then the person who's unaware eats the food and dies. So the Ratzach can come to court and say, I didn't kill him, I didn't do anything, he killed himself. Who told him to eat that food? So all the Bezdin cannot, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, he speaks about this. The Rambam says that the Bezdin Shomala v'tovei adama, they're going to demand his blood. So even though a person might argue, Grama, at best it's a Grama, I didn't do anything, I'm not responsible. Again, the point is that this area that one has to be exceptionally careful. Not only that we don't kill, but chas v'sholom, no harm occurred to any other Jew. Regarding Shabbos, there, Grama is permissible because it's not the end result that matters, it's the maaseh, it's the action that was carried out. That's a fundamental distinction between Hilchos Shabbos, let's say, and the other area of Nezikin, of Niskei Mamon, of Ritzicha. they say over from Briskolov. I want to tell this from my Rebbe, that he said from his uncle that the Pikuach Nefesh is not limited to preventing an immediate loss of life. Let's say there exists a sakana, a danger, that in 70 years the person will die sooner. Bisklav held that would be under the category of Sotheh Pikuach Nefesh. 70 years from now!
Cigarette?
Oh. They say over, our Soviet said over, that one of the Biskarov's Talmidim, very beloved Talmud of Biskarov, that he died, I forgot which month it was, he died during a certain month, and the Biskarov said, had he taken my advice at Eid Yom Kippur, he would still be alive. But Eid Yom Kippur is not only permitted to save someone from immediate death, but even the death is going to occur a few months later. Gideon Yom Kippur. Why? Because the Torah wants V'chaibah, Moshe Amos plan. They say, oh, what's well known from Rav Chaim is that it's not that Rav Chaim said that I'm Mako regarding Yom Kippur, but I'm Machme regarding something Bikuach Nefesh. So murder is not limited to a literal definition. The Gemara discusses in the Gemara talks about it in a few places in the Gemara Sanhedrin. It's also Gemara elsewhere in Baba Kama. Gemara talks in the famous Machlokes Tanoim that I have 10 people beat somebody with 10 clubs using 10 makhlois. And the person dies. Whether he dies at the same time or one after the other, they're not chayav. There's a opinion of Yudhim Seira to hit him one after the other. The last one is chayav because he was the one who was Kiyarat Misosom. He's the one who hastened the person's death. So in this case, the first blow was sufficiently hard, he may have died from it. So both, the Gemara says, what's the machlag? Yes, the Gemara says, the machlag is here, it's in Pshat in the Pasuk. Because it says in the Pasuk, in Vayikra, well, this was an aside, I don't know what happened. In Perek Chavdal in Vayikra, the Pasuk says the following, the Pashin Emor. V'ish ki yakid kol nefesh odom b'simas. So Gemara Dashin's over here. Kol nefesh odom. The word kol is the critical term. So one opinion says that the word kol implies the entire life. You have to strike him in a way that had he not done so, he would have lived. Abiyudim Mesir said no. The one, the achron is chayav. Kier is nisot. So kol nefesh odom implies kol du nefesh. Anything that's considered to be life. Means it may have been in serious condition prior to this blow. But he gave the makah the patish. He gave the final hammer blow. And for that, he's chayav. In fact, Teis HaKasha, so Teis over there, Sanhedrin, yes, the Kasha with that, Teis over there, and Dafa Yiches, so Teis the Kasha, that I can understand why the last few people are absolved from any guilt. Because they didn't strike Kol Nefesh. But what about the first guy? The one who gave the initial blow. He put the victim in a state which he would eventually die from this wound, even if not immediately. So what's the Pshat and Teis Kasha? What's he asking? Why should the first person be punished? It wasn't his makah that killed the victim. Teis obviously felt that shortening a person's life expectancy is tantamount to what? To retzach. Let's say prior to the blow, the person's life expectancy was 120 years, and now he shortened it 10 years, he also should be punished. The fact that the subsequent aggressors shortened his life even more, that's the other Avera. They're not punished because they didn't kill Kol Nefesh, the Duke of the Pasuk. But the first one struck a healthy human being, Kol Nefesh should be punished. So Tesis says that the first one is exempt because there's no raya that his blow was sufficiently hard to kill his victim. That's what Tesis writes. But had it been certain that he would die from that blow, he'd be punishable. And once again, the idea of murder is not limited to someone doing something right now. But rather, that's what the risk of the family had in mind. But rather, shortening a person's life expectancy. Many years ago, there was a I got to get back to the topic. Many years ago, there was I've been here 22 years in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a point where there was I forgot which Muhammad it was, not the 2 years ago Muhammad, the one many years ago, where many young men studying in Eretz Yisrael, their parents were frightened out of their wits. I forgot which one it was. Maybe. It could very well be. And people in Chutzaretz spend too much time watching things that they shouldn't watch. They think Beit Shemesh is next to Ramallah. That's their assumption. They don't really have, even though they're glued to what are they called, CNN, all kinds of other absolutely wonderful news agencies and the like, And so now the question is whether if something is happening and a parent is frightened. So I asked Rav Debitzel many, many years ago, what's the halacha? What's the din? So there were chiluk hadas among the Gedolei HaPoskim in Eretz Yisrael. I remember my father and mother, Zecheinu Livracha, during the Gulf War, I was not here. But during the Gulf War, when was that in the 80s? So they had all these protective devices that we were supposed to utilize, namely seal rooms and masks and what have you. And my father, Rosh Hashem, said he didn't see any value to this. He felt that it would say Tehillim, that would be a far better protection than anything else. And that's what he did. He used to say Tehillim. He and my mother together, Rosh Hashem, they say Tehillim. I spoke to him on the telephone. I told my father, I told my brother, Shlita, Rabban David, he should go and quickly set up the sealed room for them. And reminds me of my shvager, my brother-in-law, Shlita, in Bnei Brak. So he, when they had the scuds, so he didn't have any issue. He felt there's no issue. You don't need any sealed room, because Rav Chaim Kineski, the Gol Hador, Gezokta, nothing will happen in Bnei Brak. So then he went up to the roof and waved to the scuds where they were. I told him, what are you doing? You're putting yourself in a matzav sakana shen kamoh. He said, nothing's going to happen in Bnei Brak. I don't think I would take that tack. I'd be frightened out of my wits. But back to the original shaila, so people asked, can they leave Eretz Yisrael? Can they go back to their parents? So Rav Debitzel told me, it's Pashim Pshat to him, that even though Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a great mitzvah, it's in this week's Pasha, the Ramban, I was spoken about that also. And the Gemara says in Baba Kama, the Gemara says in Gittin, that that a girl, Yamir Alak with Mutta, Kaisen Shtaf, Yubba Shabbos, to acquire a piece of property in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a Gemara Baba Kama. So, and the fact is that, let's say if a parent tells a child, I'm involved with this shayla all the time, don't go to Eretz Yisrael. It's against Hagemon Yavam, it's Hagemon Babo. Gemara says that, you have to go ahead and carry out, Kulam Chayam Bechleidi. You're obligated in my honor. So that's clear that this is all true. But, so I've never told them, despite all this, if the parents are so worried they're going to have Rahman al-Islam a heart condition, and they're going to be put in a state of terrible fear and anxiety, then the son remaining in Eretz Yisrael is shortening the life of his parents. Kach shamati b'dit kachem. And that comes under the category of murder. Chidushim nifloyim. Don't you worry. I tried to argue with Taz. I argue with him vehemently. Whatever the case is, obviously one has to make sure that you lengthen the life of your parents, and they should all have a riches yom bishan. Okay, I'll go back to the topic that I really wanted to discuss. I want to just really, if I may, I didn't realize what time it is, of course. But I just want to share with you one idea also related to this whole this discussion that we had, and with that I'll be Messiah. I find it very striking that when I look at the Pasha carefully, which I do, there is a very fascinating element that has to do, of course, with the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol, specifically, as I mentioned earlier. And this to me is something that I think has to be carefully examined. I mentioned the Chinuch earlier in Tof Yud, that the Chinuch stressed this idea, firstly, the enormity of the oven of Vesicha, and therefore some who killed Vishage became Shabasa Takolak Velub Al Yodo, She Styrala Tar Golus, and it's no different than the person who is should be put in a position where he's socially ostracized from his friends and the like. And the Gemara actually in Dabez Mabez, I mentioned earlier, but I just want to cite the Gemara says, Hein Shalo Osu Maisa Benezib Nami Liglu Kihechid Levelu Kapara. In order they should have a Kapara. So the Gemara says clearly that Golos Mechaperes, Misa Sakayim Mechaperes, and I mentioned before that Rashi quotes two explanations on the Pasuk of Yashaba Admois HaKoyen HaGadol. Why wait till the Kohen Gadol dies? Explanation number one, Rashi says, Shehu Bava Hashra Shechina B'Yisrael. What is the Kohen Gadol's function? Hashras Hashechina U'Laharech Yameim V'Horotzeach Bava Sadeket Hashechina B'Yisrael. What's the Rotzeach coming to do? He's snuffing out life. He's coming to remove the Shechina. He's the catcher, the light. Eino, so Rashi says, he shouldn't be. It's not Kedai, he should be before the Kohen Gadol. That's one explanation. Second explanation, Rashi says, Dabar Achem, V'vishahayu lo the Kohen Gadol, Yisparel, Shalotera, Takala, Zubi, Yisrael, B'chayam. He should have davened. That such a takala should not happen to any Jew in his lifetime. So what is Chazal stressing? That a kohen is a life-giving force. Le'umat roteach. The two are almost polar opposites of each other. One is the antithesis of the other. And this is found also in the pasuk. The Torah says, V'hayu ha'oyim lahem l'shaves, u'migusheyem yiu l'dhemtam l'rchushim l'chol chayosam, g'morim makis, l'chayim niknu v'lo dekvura. You're not allowed to put a Beis HaKvaros in the Ori Alvim. The Ori Nikla was found among the Ori Alvim. You can't have a Beis HaKvaros in the Ori Alvim because only life support items are to be found there. Furthermore, on the pasuk that Hashem Mashach HaKvaros V'Shem HaKvaros, so Rashi comments, V'chi hu Mashach HaKvaros, or HaKvaros Mashach HaKvaros, Ela V'Havi Yisam Nimshach B'Yomav Shemachziro B'Nisasov. Rashi is someone who is Nimshach B'Yomav, he also is Machzir, the person in Misato. So I saw the Meshachochma said the following. V'yitochim v'hoyer lano akosuv oifanei hanogas ha'ashkocha she'yitochim. He says he's trying to describe the Ashkoch of Hashem Yisbarach asher b'shul sivas ish proti yumadzeh b'kohen gadol. Why is this double point of the kohen gadol? Because of that guy. V'hu b'shvil she'tzorach ha'rotzech l'hamtim al misasho she'l kohen gadol. V'im yu'amad acher, if there'd be another kohen, ulai ein lo chayim aruchim. Maybe he wouldn't have such a long life. So why is this kohen? Why was he appointed? And he's going to have longevity, long life. Because he's saying that the Rotech in a certain Bechina is responsible for the Mashiach of the Kohen Gadol. And that shows the antithesis in the Kohen Gadol, the Rotech. This reminds me of the Beis Halevi, one of my favorite Beis Halevis I mentioned here before, cause and effect, etc. What is the cause and what is the effect? The way the Meshachoch presents it, and based on this Rashi, and this Chazal, he understands it as being the very, shall we say, opposite of what we would think. But this connection between the Kohen and life is also famous, Pesach of the Rambam Paskins in Perek Tezvot, Chesvil, Alach Gimel, he's talking about Avera and Ketzah, which Avera is Paschal or Kohen? Kohen Shehorges HaNefesh, this is the big Tovul the Shulchan Aruch as well. It's relevant. Halacha Lemaisa. The Kohen is a soldier in the Israeli army. What's his status as far as the Nisias Kapayim? The Gemara Brachos. The Gemara says, based on the prophet of Yeshayahu, Farisim Kapefen, Alim Einan Iken, Gam Kisar Butzila, and then Shomer, Yidechem Dom Maleo, because your hands are full of blood, so you can't duch it. So the Ram Paskin, so Avera Ketzad, Kohen Shehorges HaNefesh, Al Bishos HaTshuva, Lo Yisras Kapo. Shenema Yidechem Dom Maleo, Uksiv, Ufarisim Kapefen. And even though other Averis, you can do tshuva, but chas v'sholom, a person committed an act of betzicha, then the gates of tshuva are closed. Why? Because betzicha, of course, is the snuffing out of life, and the mahus of the kohen is adrava, hachzokas hachayim. A kohen is the one who's a life-giving force. There's almost a tata de sasrei, almost a stira b'nei obey. It's interesting that we know the outside of Aaron HaKohen. Someone told me today there's a whole group of people in Jordan today. Several hundred people went to Jordan. Why? Hor, hor, hor. They're climbing hor, hor, hor. Vayal Aaron HaKohen al hor, hor. Al pi Hashem vayom Hashem. They daven there. They had duchenin over there. That's what they told me today. And I don't know what the nature of the sakon is. I would imagine going into Jordan is not exactly, shall we say, a simple foray. I imagine there's some element of sakana that's involved, but somehow they wanted to be connected with the outside of Aaron HaKohen. Anyway, my point simply is there's a Meshachoch also on that pasuk in Chukas, I think it is, where the Torah says the Klal Yisrael, how do we react to Aaron HaKohen's death? It says over there, Vayitku es Aaron Shloshim Yom, Kol Beis Yisrael. So the Meshachoch says, what is the Torah telling us? Kol Beis Yisrael! In the 40 years that Aaron was extant, there was no situation of a Rotzeach B'Shegeh who went to Machne Leviah, who was Nifra and Nibesun and Mishpachto, and that's why, Vayichu Esar Shoshim Yoyim, Kol Beis Yisrael. Azei Shtei Meshachoch. Just to end, that when the Torah actually speaks here, Bamid Balam Gimel, Vayal Aaron HaKohen Ohor Ohor Al Pi Hashem Vayom Hashem, we see the Pasha is mentioned twice. It's mentioned in Chukas, and it's also mentioned here, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. Why? Why does the Torah repeat this idea twice? So once, the Torah is describing a great manhig a great person. But the second time, it mentions here, Vayal Aaron HaKohen. The Torah here stresses the element of Kohuna. You hear what I'm saying? There are two descriptions of the death of Aaron. One is found in the context of Mei Meribah. Take a look for a moment. If you look over there in Parshas Chukas, in the context of Mei Meribah, so there, the Torah tells us, Yan, Lo he'emantin bi lagdisheni, ein yibidei Yisrael, lochein lo savi yosam azeh, el ha'aretz asher dibalem, heima Mei Meribah, asher rogu b'nei yisras Hashem v'yikodesh bo. That's in Perachof of Chukas. That the Torah tells us, and then, a bit later, at the end of Perek Chof, I believe it is. Yeah, the end of Perek Chof, Pasuk Chotes. Vayir kol edu ki gov ha'aron, vayir kol esaron, sholshim yom, kol beis Yisrael. That's one time the Torah mentions the death of Aaron. Now here, at the end of Bamidbar, in Perek Lam and Gimel, in Pasha and Basle, this week's Pasha, so the Torah here again repeats the death of Aaron HaKohen. In Perek Lam and Gimel, beginning of the Masos, so it mentions what pasuk was it? Yes. So there it says in Lamaches, "Vayal Aaron Hakohen lahor al pi Hashem v'yom Hashem b'shnasa arboim v'ar ben shol shreis v'mashon v'meisa v'horahor." Why is it mentioned twice? My father Hashem was bothered by this kasha, and so I answered. This is what I told my father at the time. Tzvei dinim. Aaron b'tor manhig, b'tor novi, Aaron has the din of a novi, Aaron achicha yed v'yecha, apostle v'chumish. And secondly, Aaron has another aspect to him, namely the aspect of kahuna. So here, Dafka Parshas Maaseh, the aspect of kahuna is mentioned. Maaseh is very much involved with, as I said, the role of the kohen in terms of the Ari Miklot, in terms of the Ir Miklot. That's what I told my father. Rashi actually, interestingly enough, Rashi said, Vayar kol edu ki gava Aaron, Rashi earlier, so Rashi points out, I think he quotes the Medrash, Shero Moshe Melazah Yorad and Baron LaYorad Omer Hekun Aaron Omer Lemeis, he died Omer Efshem Misha Omer Gedegan HaMalach Ratzas HaMageva Yisrael Malach HaMobis. Someone who was able to stand up against the Mageva, the Malach HaMobis, Shabbat Shlit Adin Miyad Bikesh Moshe Rachamim Haru Malach HaShar Islam Mitatso. They saw his beer sort of in the stratosphere, as were Ro Ve'emino. Now, Aaron HaKohen, basically, he is life. He represents life. Aaron HaKohen. I'll just end by saying that if you look in Svarim it says that in some respects, Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Ritzach when he killed the Mitzri. When Moshe killed the Mitzri, he had a Din Ritzach, and he also had to go to Ir Miklot. Where did he go? To Midian. To whom? To the Kohen Midian, who later became his Shver, who became his father-in-law. And the remez is that parsha that I started with in Mishpatim, v'samti l'chol mokeim asher yonu shoma. Shoma is Eisias Moshe. Eisias Moshe Rabbeinu. And there's the Yalkut. There's the Yalkut Shemeni, I believe, in Parsha Shmeis. The Yalkut said, why did Moshe Rabbeinu, why was he Meisa Nefesh, why was he Miklot? Oh, Yavdil Moshe, Shol Shor, Meva Yardein. So the Medrash says, I forgot who it is, Misha Ochal Osat Tavshu, Hu Yodei Atama. I think it's Rab Levi who says that. That the one who ate the tafshil, he knows the tam. Ketzad, so he goes on to describe the medrash, Rab Levi. When Moshe killed the Mitzri, and then the next day he found, so the Alkit says, I think in Rav Chanan the Alkit says this, that here in Rav Chanan, the psukim that I just read also earlier, also related to Ari Miklot, when Moshe, in effect, when he was told again to go and separate Ari Miklot, so Hashem told him, and Moshe asked why, so he said, if a person killed B'shogeg, he should be able to run away there. Moshe said, I think Moshe in the Medrash says, Shira Michayev Lomar, I'm going to say Shira, Shabir Adab Azer Shalak Nisabitri. And it doesn't say Nidal Moshe, it says Oh Yavdil Moshe. Vein Oh Zelashira Shenema Oh Zelashir Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in some form of fashion, was also involved in Ritzicha B'Shogeg and had to go to Ir Miklot to the Kohen Gadol Kehilu. Say Midyan, and Chazal say V'Nos Elachas V'Nam Eilu V'Choi Ovi Midi Temelech Yusra Talmud Shegola Magdim Rabbeinu Famous Halacha That's quoted by the Rambam, that the Rebbe also had to go into Golos with together with the Talmud. And the Rambam's famous Lashon, Rav Chaim Shulevitz, that's how you speak about this all the time. Chayei Bali Chochma Umevaksheh Velo Talmud Torah Ken Nisayim Chashuvim. I always wondered that, and maybe I'm not just going to end with this. In the Pashut in Vaschan, my father was very troubled by this. The pasuk that appears in the middle of that discussion of Ari Miklat, the pasuk that's well known to us. Where's the lashon again? Rizayt Hatera Shasam Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael. This pasuk is discussed by the Mefarshim in the context of Hagba. Hagba is based on the Ramban in Chumash. Ramban quotes a Sifrei. Ora shel yakim tiv atera zay fasta sesam. The chiyei sev atera neifel. Ela the Ramban refers to, and the Mechaber quotes also the Ramban over there in Kislova on that pasuk. Ora shel yakim, the obligation to take the sev atera around, show it to the kol. Yeminam mitzmeilam. People should be korea. My father used to bend down when Hagba was done, because that's a din of Shulchan Aruch, it's the Mechaber, Moshe Ramban. What is this pasuk doing over here, my father said? Oh, Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim, and then he tells you some of the cities, and then some of them, Zaytatera, Shefra Moshe, Zaybina Yisrael. So I told my father years later, after he asked me the question, that perhaps this is a remnant to what I just discussed now, that the best and most powerful miklot that Am Yisrael has is Zaytatera, Shefra Moshe, the Zaybina Yisrael. Obviously, I'll teach Rush, but based on the Medrash just quoted several midrashim. It might very well be, that's what the Torah is alluding to, this idea, we have no greater miklot than the Torah, and as I said, quoting Lashon HaRambam, HaRav Shegola Magri Shibasa Imo, Chayei Balei Torah Umevaksheh Beli Talmud Torah Kemisayim Chashuvim. Zei Satera Shasam Beishe. So therefore, halavai that we should find our miklot to Lima La Torah Be'emek Be'iyun Be'achava, and Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. That should be the miklot that will save us from, if you will, the Goel Adam. Saves us from the Goel Adam. The Goel Adam perhaps can be, again, homiletically, the Ekahara and all kinds of other, shall we say, forces that operate in us on an ongoing basis and try to literally move us away, move us from the path that we should be on. Alavai should be zoche somehow to be mekayim that miklot, kilchasa, to the extent that we can.